Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fumi.
And it's Mike.
Our next Hack City Comedy Show is happening March 18th, 8 o'clock at Canal Street Market. And our next Asian Not Asian live podcast recording is happening March 26th at the same location, 8 p.m.
Visit AsianNotAsianPod.com for tickets.
See you there.
The Asian Avengers. So weak.
The Asian Avengers. So weak. So fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
And quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Market. Check out those guys on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market. Also, if you're listening to this on your phones right now, please take a screenshot and post it on Instagram stories. Tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod and put a little cute anime gif in there. That's always a solid one.
Yeah.
And Mike, it's good to have you back in the lab, man.
Back in the lab.
You were gone.
Daddy's back. Okay. I've been when the teacher leaves and the substitute teacher comes in and then like the kids are real bad and the substitute teacher's like, I'm gonna tell your teacher.
Yeah.
And then like the teacher comes back and is like, I heard the report and boy am I pissed off. And then like makes you like, I don't know, do something terrible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, write sentences or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. What did the substitute say?
Yes. It's funny, I was talking to my friend James, and James was like, Mike, you gotta listen to this to the sex episode that you're not in.
It's so good for some reason.
yeah, exactly. So much better. No. He was just like, no, man, I need your take on all these things and blah blah blah. And I was like, I'm in there. Okay? I'm in there. Yeah, I like to call this segment Asian Comedian Reacts to Asian Comedians Talking About Sex. Because it was a sex episode, so for people who don't know,
definitely take a lesson.
It's a sex episode. I don't know which episode number it is.
Yeah, it's like 104 or something.
104 or 105, but like it's with SJ and with Woody Fu, and
it's called the Penis Devil.
And it's so I'm not in that one. And you guys talk about a bunch of stuff, which is good stuff. So the first one is about balding. And I can't even believe that hair you loss. Think you are bald. Oh, hair loss.
Excuse well, I went into the whole thing about how my girlfriend called me
right.
And now I can't stop thinking about it.
So that's the thing is it all this stuff. We were just talking about this another related issue like before we start recording. And a lot of this is just like anxiety driven.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because it's sort of like who cares if you're, you know, have hair or not. Right. But it's like but I care about other people caring. Right, that's the thing.
But with hair,
but that's that,
I like my hair.
Sure,
kind of like how you like cats.
Yeah, no,
like,
I get
the way
it.
I style my hair is like part of my personality. You
but
know?
But your source of anxiety was that is that Maria looks up before she hugs you, and that's the triggering thing. So I get that.
Yeah, I get that.
From, you know, but your hair is so fucking thick, bro. It's like,
dude, but
it's wild.
I'll show you some pictures later. I'll show you guys some pictures, some bird eye pictures, dude. It's
oh,
wild.
Bird eye.
What's the crown?
That's not fair though, because
it's
like,
the crown.
Did you have a flash?
Yeah, you gotta have the flash.
Because that's the thing is that like with a flash though, it'll penetrate through everything, and it's not the same thing.
I want it to penetrate though. I want to see what it looks like. Worst case scenario.
No, but like you know, I mean, I think even a very thick person with no hair loss, if you did it a certain way with the flash,
oh, really?
It's like real close.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better.
You know,
but it's crazy. I mean, I use Rogaine. Isn't that crazy?
You do?
I'm joking. I use it.
Oh.
It's not really working, I don't think. But
well, because you're not losing hair, bro.
I really every day or like once a month I'll take a picture and I'm like, this just looks the same.
So is it like
it's a foam.
Oh, and you like rub it into your hair.
Yeah, you just rub it into your scalp. But it's like I don't the most effective method is the pill and I talked about it.
Oh, you thought
it hurting my
your
balls.
Nads hurt. Okay.
Yeah, so I stopped
just
doing
accept
it.
That you're ugly, bro. Like, hey, that's what I did. I you know what I'm saying? I
okay.
just accepted how weird I look.
Okay.
And it's been going fucking gangbusters.
Well, you did the what SJ calls a life hat. Life hack.
Oh, the life hack.
Which is a hat.
I do. I me and my grandpa, who is near death because he is so old.
Yeah.
He and I have, swear to God, same skull.
Yeah.
Okay. When I die, and if you put his skull and my skull next to each other, they'll be like, oh, these two twins here.
Yeah, yeah,
were,
yeah.
Were like, you know, lived 100 years apart. But we always wear the same. We like exchange hats. He's bald and he's like kind of bedridden now. Yeah. So like when I'm not wearing my hat, I put it on his head.
So he's got a Supreme hat.
Yeah, he's gonna put on Supreme hat. You know, and I'll put on the hat that like helps with circulation. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other thing is, and I can't even believe that you somehow made this happen. Is that you somehow made out with a chick?
Yeah.
And
you can't believe I would do that?
No. Just No. I can't believe that somebody made it happen with you. I can't. so many questions. First, I think it's hilarious that you made out with her, but then also wanted to have an Asian American 101 session right there with her, like a discussion, just like, what's it like? Just like making out with her, you know? Just like, just tonguing her down and just be like, so what do you think about being Asian? Like, you know, right, were you just gonna bring that up?
We were talking about how I was not unsatisfied, I was surprised that as I was flirting with her in the courting process, we never talked about being Asian, and that surprised me.
Stop.
that's the premise.
That's another thing. Courting process? Did you go over there on like a fucking horse and shit? Excuse me. Is the lady of the house available for a quick makeout session? Perhaps a little bit of boob grab. You're not a fucking aristocrat. You made out with her at Niagara.
Yeah.
In front of that smelly bathroom. Yeah. I know which one you're talking about.
So the courting was like, hey, I think you're cute.
You that was the courting process. Hey, nice boobs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I think it's funny that you thought that maybe it was like a young person thing that they wouldn't talk. It's because you're just there's no time to talk about Asian stuff when you're like making out with somebody.
Well, I'm not saying during the makeup. I just thought during the excuse me, madam part, I thought maybe she might ask me like if I was Chinese or Japanese or something, and then we get into a whole thing and I could show her who I am, dude.
This is interesting because I always try to read the subtext of what is actually happening, and I feel that this open relationship you have is really you just wanted to have an Asian American studies minor. That's really what this is about. You don't even really want to get with chicks. You just were like, let's read Pacheco and talk about it.
I guess
you could give me a hand job too. I don't really want
that. You nailed it. I'm horny for Asian culture, not women. I want Asian culture.
Can I ask you? Did you? I feel this would be your move. As this happens. You make out with her.
Yeah.
You take the train home. You come home and you're just like, Maria, guess what? This is awesome. And she's like, very good, Fumi. Good job. And you're like, she's like tousling your hair and you're like eating soup and shit like that.
Good job. Soup. Like a dog.
Yeah.
No, I told her the next day because she was sleeping.
That's funny.
But yeah, it's actually that part is, you know, we're still getting used to it because every time I tell her, it sounds like, it feels like I'm telling her that I'm cheating on her. So that part.
Was she upset? Can I?
No. Okay. I mean, this is the whole point.
Right.
Fair. You know, we ask each other a lot of questions. She asked me a lot of questions.
Like
about
what?
It.
I don't know.
Like, you know, how did it happen? Like, what did you guys do?
Was she blind? Yes.
Was she blind? Yeah.
Did you coerce her?
Yeah, but it's cool, man. I mean, the more I do it, the more I get used to it. So.
Have you done it more than once?
Making out with girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is second person.
This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, and then I kissed one. Well, this one person just kissed me after the show, so I told her about that, but that wasn't really anything because she just went, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a little different.
I was attacked.
Yeah. Wow.
So, anyways.
Asian wave is real. It's trickled all the way down to Asian tiny Japanese comedians.
Yeah. That's how you know it's real,
even
dude.
You can get it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like a proof point. I'm a proof of concept.
Well, I want...
People use me as a case study.
You know, you're not proof of concept. You're the outlier. Well, I think it's cool. You know, I am jealous of new experiences.
Yeah.
I think that is sweet. And I think, you know, the theme of this podcast is anarchy. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of things that are shaking out.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to talk about it.
Yes.
And so our guest, I'm very excited to have this person uses pronouns as he, she, or they.
Okay.
And a writer, actress, comedian, writer for Shrill on Hulu.
Oh, Flex.
Super Flex.
Flex.
Has appeared in High Maintenance.
Flex.
Super Flex. Also created, wrote, and starred in a bunch of her own projects, including the web series Hey Yoon, among other things. Help us welcome right now, Hey Yoon Park!
Yay, yay, yay!
Hi.
Hi, hi, hi.
Oh, so my name is spelled a little funny, and I always say it's Hey-Yon rhymes with
Hey-Yon.
Gay fun.
Hey-Yon.
Hey-Yon.
Yeah, I like that.
Gay fun.
That's, it's
Hey-Yon.
One, it's not, Yon is not your middle name. It's one thing.
Yeah, it's because it's because there's a space in between. People often think it, but yeah, Hey-Yon. Yeah.
Even more anarchy, even your name.
Yeah.
I used to go by Tracy for a reason.
No, you didn't.
Time.
Fuck off. You
shut
went
up.
By Tracy?
Because the
Why?
First time I was in America, I was 3 years old, and my parents said, okay, you're going to go to this Jewish preschool, and when they say your name weird, just say, I'm Tracy. So I went by Tracy until like 10 years ago.
Is
10 years ago.
So my government name was always Hey-Yon, but I just, you know, I never quite felt comfortable to correct people, like, oh, this is how you pronounce it. But one day I woke up and I said, oh, I want to go by my name.
Yes.
I didn't want Tracy anymore.
Also, like, not that difficult.
You know, it's really not.
There are harder Asian names out there.
Yeah, for sure.
It's true. It's true. This one woman I was on a film set with for a while, after 2 weeks of hanging out, she was still calling me like, huh?
They would make it so much harder. You know,
it's okay. Just simple. Yeah.
Well, sorry for calling you the wrong name. Hey,
no
Yon.
Worries.
And I am so glad you're here. We met a while ago.
A
while ago.
Yes.
I had just started doing comedy, and I was like still doing some like freelance writing, and I was contributing to NBC News at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot how I think we connected through Hyphen, which is this other magazine. And
I wrote a little piece on there
when
I was making my first web series called Hey-Yon.
Right.
And that was me just like out of acting school. Nobody wants to cast me. Let's see, there's this guy, Louis C.K., who does his own thing. It's different times. And like, let me just do that. He's a fat, awkward, white dude, you know, telling autobiographical stories.
Yeah.
Let me do that too. And that was like a highlight for me to be interviewed by you, because NBC, you know, Asian America.
Cool.
And I remember like exactly which apartment, which spot I was in when I was getting your call.
Oh, that's cool.
2015, so you were doing comedy.
I was doing comedy. I had just started. Yeah. I would only be doing like a couple years at that point.
Yeah.
And I was still doing this other thing. And
we had a nice short talk.
We did. It was a nice little thing that we did. But it's funny now, because like that article, like, if I can't remember exactly how it's called, but
you titled it because I was so happy about it then.
Yeah.
It was titled,
like,
Is Hey-Yon Park the next Asian American Louis C.K.?
Yes, that's right. And at the time, I remember 2015.
I was honored.
Yes, at 2015, that was a great, like, you know, that's a good headline.
That's the highest accolade you can get
to walk into that. And you know, your web series did take some cues from just as far as like being very real and like handheld and that sort of thing, like stylistically, and you know, obviously trying to get your voice. But now if you read that, it's like, I'm insulting you deeply. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But you know, like, the hilarious thing is, speaking of masturbation and Louis C.K., I used to be obsessed with doing this erotic clown act. So I would go to like burlesque shows.
Yes.
And the whole thing was about this like young, my clown name was Ancient Toddler.
that's your web series name.
Yeah, that
about
was
a documentary.
Uh-huh,
I watched it this morning.
Because that was like, I'm like a kid, like a fucked up toddler, but also very wise. And but the act was always me simulating masturbation on stage.
Oh, well, shit.
A male masturbation technique or like a female
I wore a big bushy vagina puppet, and then I would have like a giant dildo, and just you know, so using it on the vagina puppet, but like really vividly simulating.
You had a vagina
orgasm.
Puppet and you would just fuck the vagina.
The vagina puppet, like I wore it like a thong.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then
But the dildo was not a strap on.
No,
you just,
no,
you just had it in your hand.
I just had it in my hand.
Oh.
And I don't know why now if I think about it, wow, I was so brave, so much braver.
Really?
That's, now.
You think so?
I mean, I've kind of lost the urge to do that clown act, but it's funny that I was so obsessed with wanting to masturbate in public with a fake vagina.
So you are Louis C.K.
I am Louis C.K.
Wait, so can I ask you something? Your words, not mine. So I was watching your web series this morning. I know it's from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, like, when you shoot in your apartment, there's a lot of Louis C.K. paraphernalia in the backdrop.
Yes.
I don't know if that was your room or if you did that on purpose, but, like, clearly you're a big fan. So
yes.
was I. He is the reason why I started comedy. And it's weird because the joke that got me hooked into comedy was, unfortunately, a masturbation joke.
Right.
But it's so fucking funny. It's the one about 9/11. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh,
one.
That's a
great I think
joke.
I remember
yeah,
this
it's
one.
Just the premise very is, like, you can tell how good somebody is, like, ethically by asking them how long it took them to masturbate after 9/11 happened.
Uh-huh.
And his punchline is, for me, it was between the two towers.
Yeah.
It's fucking funny.
It was between
it's
tower
fucking
one and two.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was
yeah
so,
and yeah. But now we know the truth. But yeah, yes. I just wanted to, like,
how do I feel about
it? Yeah.
It?
We just
yeah.
And you don't have to, you know, comics get weird about it, so you don't have to if you
I'm,
don't want
I'm
to.
I'm not. I don't feel the need to get weird about it. I didn't grow up with stand-up comedy, so
oh.
coming to New York and, like, Louis C.K. was my portal into comedy and storytelling, and at that time, like, Marc Maron's podcast came
yeah.
on, and so when it all happened, it was so funny when the article came out of his behaviors, I had several of my friends text me, like, are you okay? and yeah, he was like my distant subconscious mentor to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I still, like, miss him.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I didn't take myself off of his email list.
Oh, I'm still on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that happened, I really thought this. Oh, I hope his friends are still sticking by him. And in my fantasy, I wanted people like Marc Maron, like, to still be, because that's okay, because I try to imagine if one of my homies had something like that happen,
right?
That's the time where my homie needs me
the
most.
That's when you need homies. Yeah.
So that's a great point, man.
Yeah
I think comedians are kind of not, I don't want to say on his side, but, like, accessible, I guess, if he, you know, I'm sure his friends are there for him.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was like a podcast that the New Yorker had published recently, and, like, a journalist went up to Toronto to see him because he's still touring, but
he's touring
in, like, weird ass cities like Dayton,
yeah,
Ohio, and, like, West Virginia.
He's going to Russia.
Yeah, he's going to Russia.
Going.
When I was in Italy, he was in Rome, and I thought about going to see him, but I wasn't sure if I'd get canceled or not, so I didn't go. But I don't know. I still listen to his stuff, like, on Spotify, and, you know, it's still it's weird, man, and. Yeah, I think with him, my whole thing is, like, I just think that if you know stand-up comedians, they're very immature till they die. They're like babies and so emo. And I mean that in the rudest way possible. They're very emo,
yeah,
right?
Really
about
are.
Everything. You
yeah.
say, how are you? You didn't say, hi to me at a party.
Yeah,
a 45-year-old would be like, well, you looked
yeah.
at me weird. And you're like,
yes.
what are you, fucking 17?
Yes.
Like,
uh-huh.
So I think his apology was bad. But it's like
it almost was good. It could have been so good.
I know, but I don't think we're gonna get one better because I don't think he's just kind of like, there, I did it, and he's kind of backing away.
Yeah.
That's the way I interpreted the whole situation.
I see that.
You know,
yeah. It's fucked up what happened, and hopefully we all learn from it and not do it. But yeah, I feel for him.
Yeah,
I miss him.
Yeah.
And when Me Too started happening, a part of me was telling myself, okay, Heian, you got to be a little more careful too, because I have done things throughout my life where I'm a very touchy person.
Uh-huh.
Like, even with girlfriends that I'm friends with,
yeah,
like,
sure.
when I, like, SJ,
who's
a friend of this show, mm-hmm, I would, like, when I, to show affection, I like to, like, pat people in the butt.
Well, that's, yeah, you're gonna have to change that, I think.
But it's a Korean thing, too.
Is it really?
People, like, Koreans,
oh,
like,
yes.
love to
very
hit
physical.
Each other when they're,
yeah.
when they're laughing. And
it looks like it hurts.
I'm also, like, bummed out because I'm a very physical person.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, you know, that I feel that we're, like, losing out on a lot of human interaction, on, like, the good stuff.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
not touching each other
at all. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I understand, like, consent, absolutely,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you know, I, you know, we're we're fucking animals, right? And animals always touch each other, especially mm-hmm. mammals, like to just to like get each other's attention. Mm-hmm. You know, like in other countries, like they do fucking like double kisses on the cheek mm-hmm. to like everybody. Mm-hmm. And you just like learn a lot about someone by touching them. Like I always like, now I don't do it anymore, but I mm-hmm. used to like touch people by like going around their arm and like grabbing them in the arm. Because like it's
regardless of their gender,
it doesn't matter. Yeah. I always would grab
friends
them.
Or just
friends. But like if somebody I like, mm-hmm. if I like you and I laugh at your joke, I'll grab you around the arm because like I feel that like
it's a bit of an interesting spot to grab.
I like, grab people
kind of where the like,
right
elbow
here,
is.
Right here, because like yeah, yeah. it's not sexual. I'd hope
no,
you
no.
know, but it reinforces that like I'm with you. You know, yeah. what I'm saying? But like I understand. You know, so you're saying you're not grabbing people in the butt anymore.
Yeah. In college in Korea, I was in a theater troupe. And for some reason, during rehearsals, I got into the habit of like pulling the boys' pants down.
Okay. You are on
that's
a different,
amazing. No, no,
a different plane.
That's amazing. I love it. Continue. Continue. I agree.
Sometimes I wasn't even drunk. And
in fact, most times.
Most times.
This year, like I went back to Korea. It was the year that I was visiting, so I was doing like I was participating in the school production.
Yeah.
So most of them were like 6 to 7 years younger than I was.
Yeah.
And the boys are so cute. And it wasn't a sexual thing. It
I mean, the pantsing
like,
was a thing in the U.S. too.
But yeah, the pantsing thing. So I would just like pull these pants down. And because in Korea, there's that thing of like, oh, older classmate, like you got to be respectful.
Yeah.
Like they were being quiet about it. And then like later on, they made a group plea, like,
please stop pulling
out
her pants.
Please stop doing that.
Oh my God.
And so when the Me Too started, I like, that came back as a flashback memory. And,
yeah. No, I get it. I feel that.
If any of those boys are listening, those men are listening right now, I deeply apologize.
Yeah. I think it is important that we, you know, everyone should be more aware of like the physicality. But I hear what you're saying, like especially with Korean culture, there's a lot of, like, you know, like younger girls will hit their brothers, quote, you know, their older male, friends, like, you know, like, oh no, you know, don't do that, older brother, ha ha ha, like at each other. There's a lot of that going on, you know. So
I will say, like, yes, it does seem a little bit right now there's a lot of carefulness, but with this conversation of consent and just being able to communicate our desires to each other in a more honest, clear way, I do think like in the next few years it will truly be a beautiful place where we like don't have to shy away from, but also just naturally be respectful to each other.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah. Hey, maybe somebody wants to be pantsed. Pants me.
Sounds kind of tight. Actually,
it is a good sign of affection. You only do that to somebody who you adore.
I want to read that letter, by the way.
You know, we had a discussion with you a few weeks ago about, you know, what you want to talk about on this podcast, and one of the big things you want to talk about was mental health.
Yeah.
Because I know for a while, because like I would see you for a while, and like. Mm-hmm. You know, we were kind of like on different paths as far as like, you know, I was writing and then doing stand up and all that stuff. And then I would like occasionally like kind of see
me
you.
In an Asian grocery store.
Yes, I saw you in an Asian grocery store. I was like, of course, you know, but then I didn't see you for a little while.
Mm.
And then I started seeing you again and I was like, okay, cool. But, you know, you kind of went away for a little bit and you were working through something.
I do. I said to my friends, between my depression and my weight fluctuation, because I go up and down a lot, I wonder if some people think like I get pregnant every year and go away for a little bit.
Hey, Yana's pregnant again.
She's pregnant. She's a little bloated. Oh, she's back. Oh, she's gone. The irony is like I don't ever want to have kids.
Oh,
but
shit. Okay.
Yeah. No, so I do tend to do that. And right now I'm just obsessed with therapy and talking about mental health, so that's why I wanted to take this opportunity.
Well, you had like so this is like a positive aftermath of some shit you went through, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can like kind of walk us through that.
Totally. So, the first time I was in therapy and I was taking antidepressants was when I was a teenager.
That's early.
It's very
and
early.
And your parents were like cool with that because they have to sign off on that shit when you're in
high
school.
Okay, so this is the part where I always feel a responsibility to give a trigger warning when we're talking about things about
you've been warned,
suicide, ideation, depression. But that was the first time I attempted to kill myself.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
in high school,
in middle school.
Mm. Middle school.
Damn.
This is in America.
This was in Maryland.
In Maryland. Okay.
Wait, it was ninth grade, so it is high school, but around that age. So even though my parents, like, they still kind of think of as I think of therapy as a taboo.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like my mom would even now say to me, like, you know, I know you're in therapy, but like, don't tell people about
oh,
it.
Oh well, you're gonna about to tell several. Yeah, you should.
So that was the first time, and I don't know. I just always was a very anxious person.
Yeah.
And
so it wasn't like one specific incident that made you want to do that.
It was a combination of things, but I grew up with a father who was very abusive.
Mm-hmm.
And we like I would call my mom and my brother and I like trauma buddies, like we're survivors together. So there was a lot of that. Mm-hmm. Like I used to just My goal in life used to be like I'm gonna like grow up and revenge my father.
Oh shit! Yeah.
That sounds like every Korean movie I've seen.
Yeah, really.
It's a lot of that. So yeah. You know, I think now I hate using the word PTSD. I used to hate it because like it makes me feel weak. Like
stop
dwelling on it. Just get over yourself. Trauma does a lot of things to you.
Yeah.
So that was the first time. And then in my 20s, I was back in therapy for a bit, but I never like was in it long enough to actually make a change.
Was that because why was that? Was it like
circumstantial insurance?
Sure. Yeah.
Health
yeah.
insurance. Yeah. So I've been in New York 13 years, and for the last 12 years, I did not have health insurance.
Oh shit!
That's crazy.
Living on the edge.
Yeah. So that's why like. Making stuff and being creative, I would use whatever I can like grasp onto, try to take care of myself. Last thank goodness for the Writers Guild Health Insurance, shout out to WGA.
Shout out.
The health insurance started last summer. And then during that time, I was having another bad bout of depression. Mm-hmm. And when, it was time. I was trying to look up psychiatrists to go to in my insurance network, and the soonest available appointment was in 3 weeks.
Oh shit!
And then I had a moment of, oh, I don't think I can wait.
Yeah.
And I have amazing supportive friends, but I really quickly assessed like this is not a place where like a friend can just
right.
Sit
There's
down.
Only so much
yeah.
they can do.
Boba's
right.
a yeah. drink of boba's not going to fix this.
You can't. Yeah, you can't self medicate with
yeah.
boba.
Yeah. And I have been a stoner for a while. I've been using weed. I love weed.
Yeah.
I smoke a lot of weed. And then, so I called the suicide hotline and I got information and checked myself into a psych ward.
So you had to do that because you couldn't wait. And you were just like, this is kind of like an emergency.
Emergency. I kind of like wanted to, I need to get help. And so when I got there, I didn't expect to stay a whole week.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when I was packing up to go there, because I made a plan for that day, I was going to go to my day job, kind of see how
That's
I was.
Fucking crazy.
It is crazy.
What was this like a comedy job or like just
no,
a,
I worked as a
thing.
Personal assistant. Okay.
Am I crazy? I mean wild,
rich,
not crazy.
Yeah.
But like, yeah.
But
so you were like, okay, well, just a good old Monday.
Yeah.
You grab your bagel.
No, it was TGIF. It was good old Friday.
Yeah. Friday.
I'm going to see because like, okay, he needs my help. I'm going to do this. And I knew him, so I usually like get groceries for him and just kind of help him organize his life. And as I was trying to get peanut butter and some other stuff in the grocery store that I've been going to for years.
Yeah.
I got lost in that grocery store.
Which one was this?
This was in the Upper West Side.
Was this West Side Market?
No, not West
Side.
Oh,
because
it was
like
it'd be fun if it was like a deli, so small.
Yeah.
No, but I just and it was another moment where I'm not doing well.
Yeah.
So, but for some reason, when I was packing up that day, I packed my sun hat.
Yeah.
I had my summer big hat.
Yeah.
I checked myself in.
You just walked straight from the grocery store?
Pretty much. Dropped off the groceries in my boss's place.
Yeah.
And been like, bye. See
you let him know?
I didn't tell him where I was going.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then I went in. And it was a pretty complicated process of having to tell several people about how I was feeling. And then, like around 1 in the morning, I was on the floor of the psych ward.
Was, yeah. is that intake, was that scary? You know? Because, I mean, just going to the hospital
it
in general.
It is scary.
Yeah.
It is scary, but because I was so scared of where I was on my own,
it actually felt like
a relief.
Okay, okay.
Relief, because at least, like, oh, there are people here to protect me.
So you go in there, and then is there sort of, like, a process as far as, like, okay, there's group, and then there's, you know what I'm saying? Is it like that, or is it a little bit more just observation for a while?
It's, there's many nurses and there are a doctor. You get assigned a doctor and a team of doctors actually who meet with you every other day. So I kind of loved being there.
I
learned how to play dominoes. I became very good at it.
You're gambling in there?
you develop another addiction.
I cleaned the house. Okay, came up 5 large.
Yeah,
you walk out looking like Adam Sandler from Uncut Gems.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I took everything.
That could have happened.
Yeah.
The 65-year-old Haitian man was teaching me.
Wow.
But then at the end, it got a little problematic because he wanted to marry me.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
What's gonna happen?
Getting pregnant again.
We're not gonna see you for 6 months.
Chill out. Oh my God. Yeah. So I, also, it was a good opportunity to realize my own privilege because as much as a dire situation I was in, when I got in there, I realized I was on the more functioning, higher functioning.
Right. You were aware of what you were doing.
Yeah. Okay. And like, there were a lot of people there who don't have housing,
sure.
who are struggling with substance abuse. And we weren't allowed to leave that floor at all.
Okay.
And the windows are all kind of clouded.
Yeah.
And the windows do not open for obvious reasons. And it was like a break that my brain just needed.
Okay.
The only thing I had to make sure was that my cat was fed by my roommates,
right?
So it was, there were moments that was really hard because there's a lot of people there who like hate being in there. There were a lot of like, you know, that kind of drama happening, but I was just determined to get better. I didn't want to, because I think I spent a good chunk of years just, you know, being very having fun, mm-hmm. enjoying life, but being passively suicidal.
Yeah.
Just constantly.
Just kind of having that in the background all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, making funny jokes about it and like, yeah, this is my darkness where I get my creativity out of.
Right. But it's weird how much comedians kind of, you know, we're such masochists, right? We're such like people who are like, well, I can't be funny unless I'm also suffering, you know, with stand up. It's like that ends up coming out as like, oh, you're not like, you know, burning the candle at both ends, doing, you know, 40 mics a week and like, you know, doing all these things. And, you know, if you, you know, we kind of look down on people who are healthy,
comfortable life. Well, we were just talking about how like that's the, for some reason, that's the comedian way.
Yeah.
Or the artist way. But if you get older like that, that fucks up your body. And like, we know comedians who have committed suicide, have died of diabetes.
Several.
I mean, Patrice O'Neill, for example, is like the funniest dude ever alive. And then he died of, you know, I think some heart problems because he just ate too much.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we know, it's like on, you know, I have my little network of comedy people I know. And like, there's like 3 or 4 comics.
Yeah.
One who passed away recently. Who, and it's just like, wow,
is this the I love this crowd guy?
Yes. Mr. Jokes.
I've been seeing all the.
We don't know. I didn't know him very well.
I didn't know him very well, but.
But he was clearly a beloved.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just something where it's not normal for, you know, sure, the comedy scene in New York is big, but it's not that big, you know? Mm. And for this many deaths to happen from all sorts of different things, whether it's like health issues or suicide or, you know, substance abuse, it's like, this is like a serious problem that if it was happening in another community, you know, like of whoever, you'd be like, whoa, there's something going on.
Yeah, you're right. If a bunch of like,
it happens.
Weathermen started killing themselves or something.
Yeah, you know,
people would be like,
on?
Right, what the fuck is happening?
If like and 4 happened in a row, they'd be like, something is happening.
Something's happening.
But for comedy and art, it doesn't.
Yeah, New York, especially again, New York comedy.
Yeah.
You know, I have all sorts of other friends and this is not like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, another one. You know,
that's
we just
a good
lost
point,
another
man.
One, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I love comedy and stories that are laced with pain.
Right.
But I also love being a fan to comedians who don't seem to have their narratives too laced with pain.
Right.
Like, there are people who are not mean at all and just, you know, have had, you know, stable lives and still be able to find, observe the comedy in life. But, yeah, I got to a point of, like, I don't care if I don't ever make anything creative again. I just...
You were just
I don't...
On.
This is
that's
not... Yeah.
But that's very big of you to admit.
It really is.
Especially, right? Especially for someone who it seemed like for a long time, creativity was the only way you were able to take care of yourself. For you to back up and be like, fuck that. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to, like, be able to live.
Just want to get better. Yeah. So I got started on medication. And medication, like, antidepressants can be controversial, but like for me it was like it went from like being deaf to like I can hear. So, and you know, I went through some time of like, you know, finding the right combination of medication, and right now I'm in therapy once a week, sometimes twice a week, and then in addition to that, group therapy.
Whoa.
Which I'm really loving.
I want to end on this.
Yes.
You were talking about relationships of anarchy.
Yeah. You have this concept that you brought up, and I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
And you call it relationship anarchy.
Yeah.
Which is, what is that?
So I learned about this word, I think, in the book, The Ethical Slut. Because as like poly...
My favorite type of sluts, by the way.
Yes.
So ethical.
So ethical.
So many ethical.
Yeah. They're sluts, but they're recycling.
Yeah.
And there's also very non-ethical monogamous people, too. Yeah.
True.
True.
Unethical monogamous.
Yeah. So define it for us, and then tell us what you think about the thing we were talking about at the beginning of this podcast.
I have some questions to you.
Okay. Okay.
Can I start with that question first?
Sure. How are you?
So when you... So you said when you come back from a date and you share details with your girlfriend, like, is that, did you guys agree upon that you're going to be completely transparent?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the point of this us. For
Well, some people do it differently too. Some people choose to.
Well, I know that's how people want to do it, but the way I saw it is, if I'm not going to tell you, then that is me cheating on you. Because what is the point of being open if you're not ready? If you can't handle that weight of your partner saying like, hey, I did this, then I don't know. To me, at least, it's like, what's the difference between that and just being in a monogamous relationship where one of them is cheating on you?
Yeah.
Because then even, you know, Gina could be cheating on you. You never know.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what is... I'm just saying, like, any monogamous relationship, there's always the thing, like, I guess she could be cheating on me or he could be cheating on me.
Now,
so I don't want that.
How do you deal with feelings like jealousy?
Yeah.
When you hear
stories. Has she made out with some other dudes?
She has not.
Oh.
Interesting.
I mean, maybe when she comes back from Bulgaria, she might have some news for me.
Hot,
you know?
Bulgarian.
But I think I just...
But, you know, jealousy can be dealt with in a pretty radical way, too, where you just express...
Yeah. Also, have you heard of compersion?
Oh, I love that word because that's my jam.
Is that like another
kind of she has
singing?
That.
Oh.
What is that? What is compersion?
Compersion is the opposite of jealousy. So it's like... It's like if Gina said, hey, I hooked up with a guy, that turns you on.
Yes.
Because the fact that...
Because you love that person.
You love
so
that
much.
Person and the fact that like other people desire your woman, that's hot.
It's hot, and it like it's not just in a sexual way, but like it fulfills you. It gives you good
feelings.
It
gives you joy.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I love... I came out as queer like a few years ago in my early 30s. And as I was going through that transition period, my favorite thing to do was to like hang out, hook up with guys, and constantly ask about their other sexual experiences with women. And then I realized, and even now as I'm dating and navigating myself in this crazy dating world, when I really like somebody, I want to share. Like, go out there and get desired and like hit on, and
I guess I see that. I'm gonna try to look that up on Pornhub next time.
Conversion
porn.
I'm actually really curious if there's anything on there.
That's so funny. Okay, like, he walks in and it's like, what, are you fucking my husband? I like that.
Oh my god, are you getting banged by two dudes?
That's hilarious.
Share the love.
So relationship anarchy has a common ground with polyamory, but it's just, and I don't, this is just my very superficial knowledge of it, but it's like no rules, but that doesn't mean like unethical and just slutty and STDs. It means whoever you have a connection, relationship with, you make up your own rules.
Yes. And I love that.
And I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why, like, I often, I make jokes about it, but, like, I often, like, want to be sexual with a platonic friend.
Oh.
And my friends would be like, honey, no, that's, you don't do that with friends. But I've been pitching this idea for a party.
Pitching? You have a
to
deck.
My friends. I want to have a genital showing yeah. party.
A what?
With my friends. I want to have a genital showing party.
Okay.
Because when I care about, when I, and only with like homies, close homies, I see like my friends' eyes, I see how their hair looks like. And I, when I love somebody, I want to know, I'm so curious, I want to know what their genitals look like.
And me too.
Some of the closest people, I don't know what their genitals look like. Unless
that is kind of interesting, because that is kind of the fun of when you go to a bathhouse.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 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 yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I wonder
yeah.
what my homie's dick looks like.
And yeah.
Like, word.
Just strange. And it's not even a size thing. It's just sometimes it's so different.
Yeah, it's like.
And then you learn
color?
The diversity.
Yeah.
The wide spectrum of diversity in vaginas.
Yeah.
And
actually, for me, though, it's not really a sexual. But it is something
it's
where you're
sexual.
Like.
It's not sexual.
You're like, you know, like, dude, you know, hey, now we're like real homies.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
seen
yeah,
your
yeah,
dick.
Yeah.
You seen my dick?
Yeah.
So my fantasy is we have a tea party. I really wanted to do this for my birthday this year, but
I'll bring the tea.
Actually, SJ said she'd be game for it.
I'm trying to imagine
like
this Evite, okay? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It's so deceiving.
Where like you get an email and then like you click on it and the envelope opens up
yeah.
and the envelope is like two penises pop out
yeah.
and the clitoris and then it's like, oh, you've been invited to tea and crumpets and also
so everybody has their shirts on.
Yeah.
No underwear.
Oh.
And then I'm going to provide everyone with a tutu or a long skirt. We sit on the floor in a circle. We have tea. Maybe there's some snacks in the middle.
Oh,
and
I like
then
snacks.
We take turns flipping the skirt up for like maybe a good minute. So it's just.
That's a long time.
A minute?
That is so long.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'd rather just have everybody like. With permission to stare at each other's genitals, crotch, without, like, kind of like trying
you
to catch
one,
a look.
You go one at a time in this imagination?
One at a time.
Okay.
And it's nothing
like
has to
show.
Be spread open or anything, but just a showing of sorts. And this, I as I am saying this, I do understand why my friends don't want to do it. But I still want to do it.
SJ's into it.
SJ said... I think she'd be into a lingerie party. So a
that is so different.
It's different.
I'm into that idea.
Really?
Lingerie party.
The lingerie party.
That,
yeah,
I
but
feel
the
that,
other
that
one.
Energy is completely like that. A
that's
lingerie
so
party,
different.
That is like a Hugh Hefner thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I
that's
guess
like,
so.
It's like okay. sexy. This other one is like a human experiment.
It is
right.
a human
I
experiment.
I almost feel like, yeah, like, like you know, like there should be like a small spotlight, and then like when the reveal happens, like someone hits a small gong.
Yeah, and then we snap.
I mean, I think I will be playing my drum.
And then singing.
Listen.
If there are any
anals out there who want to become friends with me, participate in this genital party.
You got to make a little jingle for that.
I am at Hayon Boss on Instagram.
What's up, straight people? And by straight people, I mean people who are bad at self-care. Really straight guys.
Oh, so
straight
bad.
Straight guys. Let's face it. We
so
suck,
bad.
Guys. Our skincare game is off.
It's just...
Our personal care game is off.
Most people, most straight dudes, it's just lukewarm water.
I know.
That's our facial.
But the reason why we're so bad at like skincare and stuff and smelling good is because we're so confused. We go into Sephora. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on. I stand in the corner and I cry.
But that's why here at Asian Not Asian, we use Hawthorne. Okay.
Hawthorne
is this new service/company where that you go online, you take a quick survey, it takes 2 minutes, you indicate your preferences.
It's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet. And they send you like shampoo, conditioner, body wash, lotion, face wash, face lotion, and cologne. Like
Two kinds of cologne.
Work and play.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean? What do you do when you play?
I don't know. I don't have a life.
That'd be
so
funny.
Yeah.
We just like spray it and we just go jerk off in the bathroom.
you spray it. You spray it and you're like, I'm ready to play. And you just go bomb on stage.
Yeah. The worst commercial for
Honor. This is great.
But really, if you're like, you know, if you're very overwhelmed by like the personal care or skincare industry, but you want to do better, check out Hawthorne, man. Check out Hawthorne at hawthorne.co. That's Hawthorne with an E. And use promo code NOTASIAN to get 10% off your first
purchase.
That's Hawthorne.co, HAWTHORNE.co, and use promo code NOTASIAN to get 10% off your purchase. Hawthorne.co. Check it out. And we're back with everyone's favorite segment. It is
Das Race News.
So this is an interesting article, and it was from The Atlantic, and it goes, "How high maintenance creates ethical tension."
Okay.
And the kind of sort of crux of this article is that, you know, the article says that high maintenance kind of creates this fantasy almost of NYC being a bunch of different kind of tribes. And there's like all this interaction between tribes and this, you know, usually because of weed, obviously, and like money passing back and forth. And they give an example of how, like, you know, some money that is ultimately used to buy weed, like kind of circulates amongst all these different kinds of tribes. And I would agree that New York City does feel very tribal. Like it, you know, when unlike almost anywhere else in America, you know, you feel there's different kinds of people running around.
We're all clumped in together.
And we're all like physically compressed together, like all together. But the article kind of continues and says that, like, oh, well, it's a little bit of a fantasy because in reality, a lot of these, you know, there's, you know, the tribes are not equal in power. Mm-hmm. There's actually not a lot of interaction. There's a really interesting little segment here, little paragraph that I'll just read it. The stereotypical high maintenance viewer spends his or her evening shut away from neighbors while binging on depictions of a city that, quote unquote, forces you to become a better version of yourself, the one where strangers come together and connect. And I was thinking about that because it is not easy to connect with strangers. And in general, New Yorkers don't connect with each other. I would say on a regular basis, we're very, that's why we have like a stereotype of being very gruff, because like we're trying to protect ourselves from like different, like we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I feel this is I understand where this person's coming from as like, this is a little bit of a fantasy. You've been here for a while. You've been on the show. What do you think about like what this article's saying?
You know, I think that intermingling of different people in the city and those beautiful connections, I think for some people it can seem like a far-fetched fantasy, but to some not. Like I like to, maybe it is my social anxiety that makes me venture out a little more in that way. Like I like to make small connections. I think there was a New York Times article about this, weak link connections. So, you know, your homies and coworkers, friends, they're main connections, but you know, the guy at the bodega, the barista, or, you know, the pigeon guy in the park that you say hi to, like how much those connections matter to one's well-being. So I have had a lot of those experiences, so it doesn't seem that far-fetched to me. And making a TV show is about like creating the utopia one wants to live in. I actually think I took a lot of cue from storylines in that show.
Interesting.
Where I got inspired to go up to somebody and say hello. Like, I live on the second floor of a building, and I just have not said hello to the first floor neighbors for a year. And then recently, like, I was smoking outside, and we met eyes, so I said, hey, hi, and I got his number. I texted him. He didn't write me back, but now I have his number just in case
invited
I need to.
Invited him to the general reveal party.
Exactly.
Invite on the way.
Evite on the way. You know, I understand. I do like the idea of it being a fantasy and like kind of like prompting you to engage, but there's so many times where I'm just like, you know, there's these people and they're never going to interact with these other people. They're just going to order seamless, and I order seamless, and then like just be behind our little wall. And like, you know, I walk through Brooklyn and I see
it. Where do you live?
I live in Bed-Stuy. And you know, I'm part of the thing, you know. And I see like there are people mixing, but there's still like an invisible barrier between so many people, you know.
Now, in the recent months or years, can you think of a banter that you had with somebody unexpectedly? Or
I feel that,
but like a banter you've had with somebody across these like stratospheres you're talking about.
Negative
or positive.
Like if you talk to somebody at a bar that looks like me, that doesn't really count. That's like you guys are both like, because there's an element of gentrification in this article, right? It's like this world that we've created that we think New York is, but like
I was saying to him earlier, my next door neighbor is like a real Brooklyn person. He's been there for forever. He's gone to jail. He lives with his grandma. They're always shouting, smoking weed, like screaming with his girlfriend in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Their rent is $500 because they haven't moved and they haven't renovated the place. And I don't really talk to him. And it's like what the paragraph said earlier. It's like I ignore him and I watch my little Netflix and I'm like, this is New York. Mm-hmm. But that's New York. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really interacting with that guy, you know?
Mm. Do you have the desire to?
I mean, I guess I have interacted with him because one time he came over. He didn't come in, but he knocked on my door and asked if, because he doesn't have the keys to his apartment. Oh. So he asked if he could climb through the fire escape.
That happens.
Really? Yeah. And I said no. Oh. I said I'll give you the number for the super. I was like, he might fall or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know this guy, you know? So I said no. I was like, I'll give you the number to the super. He can let you in.
There's a big fear factor in being approached by these people or vice versa.
I do think that, I mean, some of the best times is when everyone on the subway, for whatever reason, unites together for something.
Sometimes it's because somebody
is being a jerk and everybody's like,
and he gets off or something.
And he gets off or like everybody turns on him.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, fuck you. Yeah. We're all trying to like just get home.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, and like the vast majority of New Yorkers we're just trying to get home.
Yeah.
You know, and or sometimes like.
But maybe like try hanging out a little bit like on the stoop or I love seeing guys like. Just like old dudes in the summer, like bring out their little camp chairs just on the sidewalk.
I mean, that's a pretty awesome New York experience.
Yeah.
I think that's sweet. I think if anything, the closest is comedy, like forces me into interaction with a lot of people I would never talk to.
You mean other comedians or the audience?
Other comedians.
Both.
Yeah. But especially other comedians because like, you know, there's like all, you know, especially with stand-up because there's no real barrier to entry. You can just like anyone can come to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you get a lot of like racial diversity and like people who are literally struggling to 1%ers who are also doing open mics.
So
you're just like all together and sometimes you're all on the show together, which is like kind of cool, and sometimes you're sitting there like trapped in a conversation with them for a long time and that's kind of cool. But it's, I always think about it, I'm like, I would never talk to anyone like this except for this show that we're on, you know.
Right. That's beautiful too on its own. That community that's being nurtured. But I do recommend, okay, next time you guys are in Washington Square Park, do you know Paul and Larry, the pigeon guys?
There's no way we would know him. What? Why would we talk to him?
I became a fan for them.
Oh, okay.
fan of them several years ago. He loves pigeons.
Okay. Okay. Keep going.
He loves pigeons. He loves them so much. I've seen a video of him putting a pigeon's face in his mouth.
Whoa. So
out of love.
Out of love.
So just walk by, maybe say hello.
There needs to be a high maintenance pigeon episode. You know,
we should write that.
That would be tight. Get on there. Maybe. Get on it. I think that'd be cool.
If we meet them, should we just be like, hey, Jan sent us here?
Yeah.
They won't know my name, but just like,
is that a pigeon? Yeah. I don't know that pigeon.
And
oh, she's right here.
Hey, Jan.
Well, if you're in New York City, Anals, be sure to check out Larry and what's his name?
Larry and Larry the Pigeon Guy and who's the other guy?
Doesn't matter.
He'll be next
to Larry.
There's an older man.
Washington Square. Take a picture with him.
Love it. Okay, so this other one is the title is a Korean American stand-up comic walks into a bar in Korea. Mm. Hilarity ensues, or so he hopes. And this comes from the LA Times. And this is about
Danny Cho.
So Danny Cho is an LA comic, and I don't know him. I've never met him, but I've seen his stuff. And he was in a movie called K-Town Cowboys, which I think you can watch on
YouTube.
It's a web series on YouTube. Yeah,
it's on YouTube.
He's one of the creators.
I think. I think it's also a movie.
Oh, they did make it into.
I think they made it a movie.
Right.
You can watch on Amazon.
Okay.
And so he's, you know, he's like a writer and stand up, and he went back to Korea for a little bit. Okay, and he was doing stand-up out there in Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it kind of, you know, traces this whole thing. And I thought it was really interesting just because in Korea, and I've performed at this club. There's
That's
only
so
one.
Cool.
It's in Seoul. And it was cool. And it's stand-up is like a very new art form there, right? So when we went out there, there was not such a thing.
Korean comedy is mostly like sketch, slapstick, satirical stuff, and like so many like reality shows of people just sitting around eating and cooking comedy.
Yeah.
So this is pretty new.
Yeah.
And I read the article. I was really inspired.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not a stand-up comedian, I'm planning to move back to Korea next year.
Oh, really?
I want to try living out there for a year or two. It's mostly to help my parents. Like my dad's sick and my mom needs help taking care of him. But I want to like go see his shows and maybe try it.
Yeah.
Stand-up.
Would you do it in Korean?
I would do it in Korean, yeah. And the really inspiring thing about this guy, Danny, is Korean is his second language.
Yes.
Like he would like bring in a mixture of English and broken Korean, but it's really funny, like simple observational stuff.
I think it's interesting that that it translates over, because I, you know, so much of stand-up is rhythm and like when the where the punchline is and like how you word something, like that's really really important. Like you know, there you change one word in a joke and all of a sudden it will fall apart. So I think it's cool that he was able to use those skills, and they talk about it in the article where he like was listening to other Korean comics who are like pretty new, and he was trying
mentoring them.
Yeah,
too.
He was like trying to explain like why you want to do it this way, and then the reason why he went up on stage is because, well, I got to show these guys how to do it, even though I don't really speak like super good Korean.
Mm.
But then like it's obviously trying to like, you know, his technique crosses over even if his if there is a language barrier, and he's gotten better at doing Korean. So I think it's interesting about, you know, hey, you know, Korea's having a moment. You know, we got all sorts of stuff.
I sometimes wonder, after the Oscars, I thought, I wonder what the astrology chart is for Korea right now.
The whole country?
Yeah, I was like, whoa.
Rising,
like
Pisces, I have no idea, right? Oh, wow.
But yeah, that article made me want to like, yeah, fuck, like get a little braver and try shit.
Yeah.
You haven't done stand-up yet?
I one summer I couldn't afford therapy, so I got really hooked on going to open mics. This was like 2013-14.
Okay.
So like Otis, I went to a few like places and I liked it, but I didn't.
Do you remember where? Did you go to the Creek? It's free there.
I have been to the Creek. Yeah. What's that like? Tiki bar.
Oh yes.
Oh, Otto's.
Otto's.
It smells like shit in there.
Yeah, it smelled crazy.
Oh god.
Dude, that would not help your mental health. I've been there. I mean, I used to do that mic all the time. So for people who don't know, it's called Otto's Shrunken Head, and it's a tiki bar, and it opens at like 3 or 4 p.m.
And there's people in there.
It's still
already
going on, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh, it's
Jimmy Peoples is the guy.
Jimmy Peoples is right. So like, and there's like a bar area in the front, and there's a bar area like a not a bar, but like a, I don't know, performance space in the back. And they have like really like hardcore like punk music there also. And it smells terrible in there. And it always smells terrible in there. And there's like bar flies who are there all the time, who are just like hanging out. And you're just like wondering what's going on with these people. And then there's like all these, I mean, it's 3 fucking p.m. So like all these open micers are like either they don't have jobs or they have some sort of weird job where they're just like hanging out.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in the back, there's no windows. You're sitting back there. Everybody, in general, not everybody, but a lot of people are terrible at comedy who are there.
Uh-huh.
And I could see it. I mean, I remember being there and going and just thinking, like, I need to not be here. I need to, like, I need to either get good enough where I'm not here anymore or get a job or something, because I'm like, this is not good. But, I mean, you know, I'm glad that you went there, you know?
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, though, like, I want to go to more shows, but I don't like the spaces. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I struggle with it. I want to go see comedians. Yeah.
Clubs suck.
Yeah.
Clubs,
you should. I mean, you can go to a lot of alternative shows. Indie shows are cool.
Depends. Yeah. You can go to our show.
Our show's right here.
I'm going to come to your next show. Oh, it's here, right?
It's right here.
Yeah. Yeah, I've become a fan of yours.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, we're a fan of you guys.
You know, it's Love is Blind. Have you seen that on Netflix?
Not yet, but I will soon.
Okay. You guys should talk about it. But, you know, like there's something intimate about like getting to know somebody through the voice. And
yes.
I usually listen just to the podcast. So,
well,
yeah.
You're not going to see my dick, so just stop asking. But special thanks to our guest, Haeyeon Park.
Yes, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Where can our fans find you?
Do you
have anything to plug or anything too?
Yeah. Sure. I'm at Haeyon Boss on Instagram. I have to get to building my website back up again because it got expired.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a Squarespace.
But yeah. I want to shout out my friend Ouyang again. His new album is coming out middle of April. So check that out. And there's a play called Endlings at the New York Theater Workshop by Celine Song.
Awesome.
She's a Korean-Canadian playwright who wrote a play about these old deep diving women on this island in Korea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's really great. Check it out. I think it runs through end of March.
Okay, so check that out. And then otherwise, check us out on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod.
That's right. And you can also find me on there at The Fumi Abe. That's CHEFUMIABE.
You find me on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
Please come to our next Hack City show. That's going to be March 18. And then the next live podcast recording is March 26, 8 p.m. Go to AsianNotAsianPod.com for tickets. And then the Hack City in April is going to be April 15th.
And we hope that the coronavirus is under control in a couple months.
Yeah, no, we hope you're still alive.
We'll be out in California. I'll be out there doing some shows in May, and then we're going to be doing a live show in Southern California, in Los Angeles.
In June. Yes.
So stay tuned for that.
Yes.
And special guest, thanks again to Hyeon for doing this.
Thank
this is
you.
Amazing.
Yes, and Anos, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, and we're back with our Patreon shout-out segment. Again, if you don't know what we're talking about, please visit patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod and give us your money. And in exchange, we give you bonus episodes. We slide into your DMs and...
We guess your ethnicity by your name, which is what we're about to do.
Here we go. First Patreon person, Miki Kawasaki. That's Japanese.
So well. Japanese. That's the most Japanese. Oh my God, that is like an anime character. Go. Yes.
Yang Zhao, the most Chinese name
so
in my life.
So Chinese. Oh my God. Oh my God.
This one is more Chinese. I didn't think you could top Yang Zhao. Jang Jang.
Dang.
Jang Jang.
Yo, that's a panda. Yo, a panda straight up donated to our Patreon. Oh well, God. Thank you very much.
That's
I
amazing.
Hear that your breed is doing much better.
And finally, this is your childhood friend, Rui Kuroiwa.
Wow. Man, yeah. Rui, man.
So what happened? How did he find out about us?
He was looking at porn, I think.
Okay.
And because he messaged me and he's like, hey, man, I came across. I'm a big fan. He was a big fan of the David Asa podcast.
Oh, that's right.
And then I think he saw a picture of us
on
Instagram with Asa.
Oh, but that was a long time ago.
That was a while ago. So I'm not sure. So like, but you know,
He messaged you recently.
Recently. Like, you know, like. 2 weeks ago.
He was going through the Asakir archives as
he was jerking it and he's like, wait a minute, I know that guy. So, but yeah, dude, he and I used to play Famicom.
We
used to
be. Dude. So he's still living here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like Mary. He's like living in California, living the dream. I was scoping out his fucking Instagram. He's got a beard, you know?
Oh, wow.
He's doing his thing. Rui, man.
God
you
damn.
And I, baby.
Well, now he can give you $10. So that's pretty good.
That's awesome.
Oh, we got to sign to his DMs now.
Oh, we do? I'll say hi to him.
Okay.
That'll be great.
Well, thank you, Rui. And if you're not a Patreon subscriber, please visit patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.